Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D.O. Double D.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
The Multi always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mikes. This is episode 16. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me this time around is Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Hello.
So I wasn't sure if we were actually going to do anything, but a certain Birdman told me to just go ahead and do it. Mike the Birdman Dodd, ThisWeekInGeek.net. He's going through some major medical things currently, folks. I will have a link to his GoFundMe page. If you can, please help. If you, even if it's not donating to him, if it's sharing the page, getting the story out there, he's got to focus on himself for a while. So it's going to be Ryan and I doing Mayhem Mikes for the foreseeable future. I may try to bring in somebody else. I don't know just yet. We are still going to try to do the superstar profile at the end of the, well, this is almost the end of the month now, but we're going to try to get things back on track. We are still going to do the pay-per-view things like we have been doing, so that's what's going on there. How was your Christmas and all that good holiday crap?
Good. I did nothing. I stayed home. I stayed around home and just took it easy. It was really relaxing. For everyone who doesn't know, I'm the only member of my family still in this hemisphere. The rest of my family are all live in New Zealand. That's a long story, but anyway, traditionally,
well,
I go.
You can't just leave the listeners on the hook for that. You brought it up. Now, why
all right,
is
quickly...
it? That...
Oh, just it worked out well. Like, my brother is 6 years older than I am. When he was in high school, he fell in love with an exchange student, mm-hmm. And she was here from New Zealand. Here being Canada, mm-hmm. and so she had to go back. Obviously, after a year, mm-hmm. a year after that. He graduated and he moved there to be with her. A year after he moved there, he would have the wedding, and that was 2015. That was not 2015. Sorry, that was 1995. I mixed it up. I mixed it up because I was 15. So anyway, they fairly recently had wedding anniversary, and so it was actually 26 or. Damn it, I did it again. It was 96. So anyway, they just had their 21st wedding anniversary. They've been together the whole time. They have two kids. So when we all went over there for his wedding, holy cow, what is with my head today?
What is wrong with you tonight?
I don't know. It's worse than usual.
I know.
I should just go back to saying bad things about Call of Duty and the other crap I do. No, anyway. This isn't actually shtick. Maybe that's why I'm getting confused. So, yeah, when we went there in 96, my parents just kind of fell in love with the place. And for anyone who doesn't know this, Ottawa is cold in the winter. And we get a lot of snow. Like, as in, I laugh at everybody else on Facebook when they talk about snowstorms and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my parents, they've spent their... nearly their entire lives in this area, and so they immigrated there in 2000. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, since then I've kind of, I take trips there and that kind of thing. I generally go once a year at some point or another. And the last 4 or 5 years I've gone around Christmas time, which, by the way, is super expensive, but hey.
Yes, very.
And
much so.
Yeah, this year I discovered I was burnt out. It was actually the Survivor Series trip that I discovered I was super burned out on long travel and that kind of thing, because it's so easy going to Toronto. It was relaxing. It was within my own country.
Yeah.
I already knew I wasn't going to New Zealand then, because obviously a month or so is not long enough to plan a trip that far.
Right.
And get the time off from work and everything else. But yeah, just, I don't know. It was nice to have a year off. So yeah, I hung around home. I got caught up on reading and video games and everything. Man, I played ridiculous amounts of video games on Steam. Most of my friends were gone and out of town, so I don't know, for whatever reason, it was just really relaxing to have that kind of me time. I took some time off work for a bit, too, so...
Awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. But I didn't get anything, because I didn't go anywhere. So... I bought myself plenty of nice things.
Like there you go.
Battlestar Galactica, the complete series on DVD or on Blu-ray. Actually, got a bunch of discs. Anyway,
there you go. For me, I went out to California for Christmas. It went fairly well until it kind of didn't at the end. There, all I'll say is that love sucks. As I said earlier, so. The thing with being out in California for a month for Christmas, I didn't really watch, and that was kind of the plan. When we did episode 15 of Mayhem Mike's, I said, look, guys, we're not going to have a year-end show. We're not going to have the two pay-per-views, and we're just going to come back in January and do it then. So it's one of those things where I watched... I think it's 5 total episodes between December and current, or 6 or so. In the span of the last week or so, I've watched every single Raw and SmackDown that I missed, including the, you know, keeping up with the current ones that have just aired and all that. So I almost completely forgot what the hell was going on in WWE. Because when I left, I was like, oh, California, it's going to be so great and everything else. And I'm like, to hell with everything online. Because I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone and I don't have a laptop or any of that. So, I mean, I was only online a few times when I was out there. So that's kind of the point. But it's like watching the stuff now, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what's going on Raw. Oh yeah, that's what's going on SmackDown. Haven't they given up that Ellsworth gimmick yet?
Does it work better, or sorry, are the shows more enjoyable or less when you kind of watch them in a row like that?
Because they're Hulu versions and they're, instead of 2 hour and 3 hour shows, they're like, I think the SmackDown ones are the full 2 hours. I could be wrong. I'd have to look. But since the Raw ones are Hulu versions and they cut out all the bullshit, it's like an hour and a half or so. So versus 3 hours, it was fine. I had no problem. What I did was, instead of watching Raw, SmackDown, I watched all the Raws and then I watched all the SmackDowns. And because Raw and SmackDown Live are now each their own brand under WWE, like the shows aren't tied to each other like they used to be. Like, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you could say, oh, well, John Cena is on Raw tonight and the next Thursday or Friday. Oh, shit, John Cena showed up to SmackDown. You know, it isn't like that anymore. Because they're trying to separate them from each other, and I like it a lot more. I almost enjoy it more watching them in a row for each show than watching them Raw, SmackDown each week. It's almost more enjoyable to do it that way.
The shows, yeah, I mean, one of our biggest complaints has been the Raw is too long at 3 hours. And then the other thing that's kind of nice about that, too, is the shows feel very different, I find.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just who's on them. I mean, the structure and everything else. One of the things that kind of bugs me about Raw, and thankfully they didn't do it this week, but most of the time you'll notice Raw opens, Stephanie and or Mick Foley come out, and they call somebody, they talk for a bit and bicker, then they call somebody out. That's basically what happens each week. And SmackDown just seems to be a little more varied and opens very differently.
Well, SmackDown, as Shane and Daniel have said, SmackDown is the land of opportunity. Raw, they pretty much replaced Triple H with Mick Foley.
And you kind of know who the top guys are on Raw. Like,
yeah.
There doesn't seem to be as much surprise or anybody who gets, you know, brought up. Like, Alexa Bliss had a really good debut.
All clear.
She did really well mm-hmm. with a pretty limited role. Right. And so they started, like, giving her more and more to do, and now look at her. I mean, she's constantly... I mean, she main evented on SmackDown week, so...
Yeah. The thing with Raw is, it's, like, when they did the draft, they needed to do something more drastic, I think. They needed to have Stephanie be what Vince used to be. Have her be the one that comes in every now and then, and have somebody else with Mick, because SmackDown to me now, even so the two or three SmackDowns before, or SmackDowns and Raws before those last two pay-per-views that we're talking about, TLC and Roadblock End of the Line, leading up to those pay-per-views and even after the results of those pay-per-views, SmackDown just feels more enjoyable. It feels like it's a better run show, and Raw just wants to be the Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives, all my insert soap opera name here half the time. Like, yeah. This whole, like, don't get me wrong, I love Chris and Kevin together. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. They've had some great moments, like the whole teasing of the breakup thing when they're like facing off against each other, and he's like, you know whose fault it is? I'll tell you whose fault it is. And at the same time, they say, Roman Reigns. You know, that was a great planned out moment and everything else. But it seems to me, outside of the Cruiserweight thing, because I don't really pay attention to that. Outside of that, and outside of Chris and Kevin versus Roman and Seth as potentially a reunited Shield or two-thirds of a reunited Shield, that's all they have. They're not... Raw isn't really doing anything that's groundbreaking.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into this, roughly now with the pay-per-views. But, I mean, look at their other feuds, though, right now. It's not good. I mean, they've got the New Day versus Titus O'Neil, which is...
Well, that's because they took the titles off the New Day once they broke the record, and they put it on Sheamus.
Oh, I know, but give them something, you know, have them feud with another tag team or something. Don't, like that, A, with one guy, and B, with somebody who's, you know, Titus O'Neil, ever since Primetime Players broke up, has been pretty awful. So, that's been bad. The Rusev, Enzo, and Cass feud has been dreadful.
Yeah, poor Enzo wheeling himself out there. That was
hilarious. Yeah, I'm impressed that they managed to make Shawn Michaels boring. I mean,
I was hoping he was going to do more, honestly. Like, I love Shawn Michaels. I really, really do. I was really hoping they would use him more as kind of like a third wheel for Enzo and Cass. Not really a third wheel in a bad way, but just a third until Enzo is, you know, fully back up and whatever. But
tables, ladders, chairs. Simple devices we weave into our lives. But sometimes the simple things are not what they seem. Because here, these are the obstacles that must be faced. They are the measure of tenacity and symbols of the unyielding will to prevail.
The new number one contender for the WWE World Championship, Dean Ambrose, has got it!
They will test integrity.
If he cared so much about this championship, he never would have lost it. And I
dare you, Ellsworth, to show up.
They will push limits.
You better get your head on straight. When that bell rings, the carnage begins, and I'm gonna take my championship back.
Fun and games are over.
They can force one to thrive.
Do you understand how hardcore a ladder match really is? It ends careers.
The show-off hasn't forgotten about the Miz.
I'm not done yet.
We will take on anyone.
Or they can lead them to defeat.
I am a god. This is my world.
Her 15 minutes of fame are going to be over.
I am the SmackDown Women's Champion.
I am straight fire.
I will go through hell to keep this championship.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your SmackDown Women's title, too.
Yeah, getting into the pay-per-views, we're going to start with TLC. This is the SmackDown pay-per-view. As everyone knows, I do not watch the kickoff stuff, but kickoff 10-man tag team match.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't watch the kickoff stuff this time.
You know, okay, so this is one thing I want to bring up before we get too far into this. I watched TLC and SmackDown, I think they've been doing this a while. TLC, I actually counted it because I had to at the end because I wanted to figure out the exact time. TLC was 2 hours and 43 minutes, and then the rest of the 3 hours was filled with talking smack. And they've been doing that on the pay-per-view. Like, it wasn't that the WWE Network switched from the pay-per-view event to an episode of talking smack. It was tacked on to the back of the pay-per-view. Like, they had to fill that 3-hour slot. So the actual pay-per-view of Tables, Ladders, and Chairs was 2 hours and 43 minutes or so, and I'm like, that seems short. That's 43 minutes longer than a normal SmackDown episode. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that it ends earlier, to be honest. There just seems to be this thing with SmackDown that they're really good at not overstaying their welcome, whereas the Raw stuff just feels long.
Yeah.
You know, SmackDown, the negative I'll say, and this, you know, is regarding the pre-show as well, they do too many multi-person and multi-tag matches. Oi, oi, oi. Like, every SmackDown has them. And then the pay-per-view, you know, this is a 10-man tag. That's way too many people. I mean,
yeah, they should have made that tornado tag, not regular tag.
Or do something, yeah, kind of interesting with it. But yeah, too many people. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, there's 10 different tag teams. That's, yeah, like you said, just way, way too much. So the actual pay-per-view starts off with the tag team championship match between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Wow. Versus Heath Slater and Rhino. And, of course, the Wyatt family win, so they are now the tag team champs. This is going to set up stuff later for their, hopefully, dismemberment. For some odd reason, I have Unicron on the brain. I don't know. Then we had the Wyatt Orton Heath Rhino match. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. I like seeing. I've never made it a point not to show that I could not stand the original Wyatt family. I just don't. It's just not my kind of wrestling thing. Like, I just don't. But with Randy in there, I kind of like him now. I don't really like Bray because I think he talks too goddamn. He does well. He does very well. I'm not talking about his ability.
He's asked to talk too much, yeah.
Yeah, they ask him to talk way too damn much.
Yeah, because somebody goes to him and says, like, all right, we need you to hit these bullet points, but we need you to fill, you know, 10 minutes of our show.
Yeah.
It's a little better now that he's on a shorter show, but he's still, still...
But I like Randy with the Wyatt family. It's going to be interesting to see how that all kind of explodes in their faces. But
I feel like it's rejuvenated Orton a little, or at least he feels fresh. Like, I enjoy seeing him much more now than I did before. It seemed like he was just kind of in the upper mid card, and they didn't do much with him. I like where this is. I feel like it's making everybody better, and that's what you want to do. So, yeah, good job.
Then we had the no disqualification Nikki Bella versus Carmella match, and this stems off of who was Nikki's attacker and blah, 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 because ever since Carmella came in, she's been attacking Nikki Bella, and we've seen that, but apparently the mystery attacker was Natalya. We'll talk about
Roman
that.
Roman Reigns. Oh, sorry.
No. Come on now.
That's the other show, right? Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a second here. I think John would have a problem with that one.
Yeah, so this wasn't a bad match. I don't mean to diminish anybody when I bring this up, but man, the thing I remember most about this match was the fire extinguisher that would never end.
I know, that was the best part about the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I mean, they put on a decent match. You know, I've been hard on Nikki Bella a lot in the past, but she did well here, especially considering Carmella's super, super green. Like, she has not been wrestling very long at all, and they called her up from NXT probably way earlier than they should have, much like Dana Brooke. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Nikki's done a decent job with her.
That's one thing I noticed. What the hell happened to Dana? Because I have not seen her on the shows that I marathon.
Yeah, she shows up periodically to join up with
Charlotte.
Charlotte. They've had her out as a guest referee and that kind of thing. My guess is to give her more training, which she needs. You know, no offense to her, obviously.
Right, yeah.
I think she will be quite good. She's doing well, considering, you know, she's hasn't been around very long at all, so...
Yep, absolutely. Then we had the Intercontinental Championship ladder match with The Miz, along with his wife Maryse, defeating Dolph Ziggler. This was by far probably my match of the night, outside of Alexa and Becky, because Alexa and Becky is... We'll get to that a little bit later, but that's going to go down a whole... Which they actually just revealed that recently, but it's going to go down a whole soap opera rabbit hole. But The Miz versus Ziggler, oh my God.
That entire feud completely rejuvenated and refreshed both of these guys.
Absolutely.
Starting as far back as The Miz going nuts on Talking Smack. And they're both way more enjoyable through this than they have been in a while. And they've taken that momentum afterwards because... You know, in the last few weeks, Ziggler's turned heel, and that's been pretty good. It's somewhat intriguing. The Miz has been fantastic. Like, he's just on a roll for the past year or so now. It's crazy to think that for a while, he was just not doing anything, and he seemed really kind of lethargic or stuck in a rut. And now, you know, when they have him come out and he trades insults with AJ, it's great. That was fun. Yeah. I loved this week's Cena pitting them against each other.
Oh, that was so fun.
So, yeah, the feud helped these guys. This was kind of the blow-off match, aside from their meetings
on SmackDown. Yeah, this was for the final last time ever, third in the series, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And both of, like, it's been a while since I've seen a really, really good, I've seen ladder matches. They've had ladder matches in the last couple of years, but this is by far, I would say in the last 4 years, this is by far my favorite ladder match in the last 4 years, because everything they did with the ladders and everything that they didn't allow Maryse to do, I was half expecting half the time, because we all know with Miz and Maryse, from the past year or so, she's always interfered somehow to get them, and she did not do that, and I'm glad that she did not do that with this, because it gave the two guys more of an oomph to drive each other instead of having an outside force needing to drive the story of the match, and it was just so goddamn good.
Before we move on to Kalisto and Baron Corbin,
move past that?
Well, speaking of an oomph, the end of Ziggler Miz, the ladder match, I loved that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, he just kicks him in the gonads twice, just hammers him. Two times in a row. That's not done enough in no DQ and that kind of thing. By the bad guys. I really like, you know, it it almost feels like they've saved it up for this. I thought it was a great way to end it because, I mean, it doesn't make Ziggler look weak because Miz used a move that's normally, you know, cheating, and then he did it twice in a row. And, you know, Miz still wins under dubious circumstances. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So not enough nard kicking in WWE. That's what I realized. Anyway.
I think they need to have, and I think SmackDown is kind of doing this a little bit, but I think both shows need to have some sort of big, epic match with people like The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. People like, I'm not saying them specifically, but they need to have one big match every week that isn't just your standard, you know, regular match. They need to do not necessarily a ladder match or a chair, just something to...
I think you can get by with the talent of some of these guys with just a longer match. I think one of the issues, probably the biggest issue for Raw, though, you need a clean finish to it once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. Because,
like, Raw, it seems like there's never definitive finishes. Or Raw seems like the one that there's a DQ more often. Or, you know, maybe imagining things. But although part of it, too, is probably the longer show. But it seems like you get more false finishes or guys running in or that kind of thing on Raw.
Yeah.
Than we do on SmackDown. Like, we just brought up, you know, the first batch of matches in this one, they all ended. Now, granted, this is TLC, so it's mostly no DQ.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least they finished, so.
Yeah. Baron Corbin and Kalisto, I don't dislike either one of these guys, but I don't really care about the outcome. Baron Corbin looks awesome. He has some awesome moves, but unless he's going up against somebody that isn't Kalisto.
Yeah.
You know?
I like how they're easing him upwards, though. It's pretty clear they think he's going to be a star, and I like how kind of slowly they've let him go. You know, it's not, they're not skyrocketing off to the top. Like, now, they're using Braun Strowman well on Raw. I don't want to make it sound like they're not.
Right.
But they use him well because he's got the look and everything that he can have, you know, 2-3 minute matches, and he can do okay in that. He's not good enough to go, you know, 10 minutes or something like that, unless there's extenuating circumstances like the Zayn match.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're not asking Corbin to do that stuff either. Like, he can go longer, and they keep putting him in with people who are really good and have been around a long time and can make him look good, like Ziggler, Cena, obviously, and that kind of thing. So I like what they're doing with him, at least. They're just easing him along slowly. You know, he doesn't have a belt or anything, but he's still kind of hanging around the importance.
He's still kind of young. He kind of reminds... I mean, he has a different feel than John did when John came on the scene, but he kind of reminds me of when John first debuted back in 2002, where, you know, he's this young, brash kind of guy. He wants to get his feet wet. He wants to get in on the ground running. And they're, like you said, and we've talked about this before in other podcasts that we've done for the last two or so years here, sometimes WWE creative rushes a story, or sometimes they will make a storyline or a gimmick go too long. And like you just said, I think what they're doing with him is a nice paced progression without just shoving him down to the annals of whatever, you know.
Yeah, and that's where they went wrong with Reigns, is that, you know, if this were Reigns, he'd have the title by now.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
All right, SmackDown Women's Championship tables match. Alexa Bliss versus Becky, and she defeats Becky. And obviously Becky is begging for a rematch here. This match, I like these two. I like watching Poison Ivy versus Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I mean, Alexa Bliss came up, you know, early, much like Carmella, but man, she just seems to get everything really quickly. She's obviously a fast learner.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny too, because I mean, she doesn't have the look that some of the women have. Like, obviously, you're not going to mistake her for Nia Jax. No, like she's very small and that kind of thing, but her moves and stuff look good. Like, it doesn't look like she's pulling off this stuff that it wouldn't hurt, basically.
Yeah.
I've been super impressed with her.
Absolutely.
And Becky Lynch, I think, you know, we've talked about it a number of times. She's great. I mean, you need two to tango, and she's done a good job of making Alexa Bliss look good and helping her.
Yeah, and that's what I've been loving about watching SmackDown as a marathon to kind of catch up, is after watching this, seeing the whole Lucha, whatever the hell that chick is, and all that.
La Luchador, yeah.
Seeing all that and everything else, and we'll talk about the actual reveal later, but, you know, just seeing that whole aspect of Alexa versus Becky has just been really, really kind of fun. And my first thought was, even though this person is dressed up in this outfit and fully covered face and whatever, how do you not tell certain people's moves? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, how do you not know that that's that person or whatever? Because I know some of the announcers, I forget which, I don't think it was Mauro, it was probably JBL or Otunga or Phillips or whatever. They were saying something about, who is she? Who could she be? I've never seen this. Like, you would think that they've seen enough of the WWE over the years, any of those guys, that they would know certain female wrestlers, even if they're in on the storyline or not. But, you know.
To be fair, at least she didn't do, like, signature moves. Like, if a guy comes out in a mask and he does the code breaker or a pop-up powerbomb, sure you know who it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. And then we ended with the WWE World Championship tables, ladders, and chairs match. It was AJ versus Dean. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I love watching AJ and Dean work together. I think they really, really are interesting to have this pairing go against each other. 'Cause two very, very different styles. We've talked about before how AJ kind of came from Japan over here and got into WWE, and he has a unique style. And Dean to me has always had, and he is this kind of character, he's always had that street approach to everything, kind of, a little bit, where it's more rough and tumble than high. He does high-flying things, but not always. And of course, to quote JBL, sort of, that Toad Ellsworth comes in and ruins everything.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this match was amazing. The springboard 450 through a table. What the hell?
Oh, my God.
Styles has an amazing repertoire of moves that he doesn't pull out super often, especially now in WWE, but, like, sometimes you just watch him and you're reminded that, yeah, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I mean, he's nuts. Yeah. And as for the Ellsworth thing, I mean, what I liked about it was you mentioned Talking Smack coming on after. I like that he came on after and kind of justified himself. It. Yeah, and said, like, well, you know, I'm going to be the champ because I've beaten AJ a bunch of times, you know, seemingly ignoring the fact that he beat AJ with Dean's help, and now he just screwed Dean. I also like the SmackDown after this, where basically, like, Ellsworth just got absolutely destroyed. Yes. What I don't like is I feel like they should have just had him off television now. This kind of silly, like, oh, Carmella feels sorry for me, or wherever it's going, storyline.
Well, you know where I think that's going? I really think that's going in some sort of way of Santino and Emma. When Emma started doing the whole female version of Santino's Cobra kind of thing.
Maybe.
And what the hell happened? That's what I want to know. What the hell happened to Emma? Did she go back down to NXT or something?
Oh, Emma. Well, she got injured, if you remember.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, now they're waiting to, I don't know what their plan is. They keep teasing her debut. They've been teasing it for well over a month now, and it still hasn't happened. So I don't know what the deal is now. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, back to this one. Just I could watch AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose wrestle pretty much every night for some time. There's something about them just seemed to work really well together. So yeah, it was, and AJ wins again, of course.
Well, yeah, they have to set it up because the whole point after this pay-per-view was that John was coming back, and they even had during the pay-per-view they had the little banner ad up there, John Cena back in 2 weeks and blah 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 blah. So I don't mind that AJ won this. I think it was fine that he did.
Giving Ambrose the Intercontinental belt, I think is not a bad thing necessarily either, as long as they keep finding things for the Miz to do at the top, because he's too hot right now to take off. And then I really like the Cena AJ stuff. I really like most of the Rumble setup. I really don't know what's going to happen regarding any of it. I like how they've done a lot of this. I'm going into it, you know, I honestly have no clue, you know, who some of the surprise entrants will be. I don't have a feel for who's going to win which match. I mean, is AJ going to win? Is Cena going to win? If they put the belt back on Cena, will they have him face Undertaker or somebody really? Well, Undertaker's on Raw now, I guess, which is baffling, but anyway. will they have them fight for the belt at WrestleMania for Undertaker's last match? Or there's a bunch of questions.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about some of all that stuff with Rumble at the end of the show. So overall, how would you 0 to 5 scale? How would you rate TLC?
And 0 to 5, I'd give it a 4 or a 3.5. Yeah. But a high version of 3.5, if I do that. It was really solid. There was only a couple stuff I'd kind of call filler, that kind of thing. There's something about SmackDown. It's just really solid. It's not always super spectacular or flashy, but it's always good. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because, I mean, there have been some stinkers on Raw and...
Yes, there have been. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with Roadblock, End of the Line, after this.
Potential units. Potential units. We have a 1053 in progress. Repeat, 1053. Four pit. Suspects in sight. All units proceed with caution.
I think if you didn't have Chris Jericho, you would have lost that title.
I don't need Chris Jericho, buddy. You want to fight Roman? Guess what? You got to fight.
All you're doing is making people think I can't defend this title on my own. I don't need you.
Every time you need help, I am always there for you.
Chris Jericho has ruined an opportunity for Seth Rollins.
I am over this. I'm out of here.
Seth Rollins is attacking Jericho. Pedigree. Roman Reigns has got a championship opportunity!
Who is she to dedicate her victory to my father?
This rivalry has broken down barriers and changed the game. It'll come to an historic conclusion.
I'm challenging Charlotte to an Iron Man match.
I'm so sick of hearing people saying I don't deserve this. I'm a fighting champion.
At Roadblock, End of the Line, I'm taking the WWE Universal Championship. I came to say
I'll put you on the list, all right. The disabled list.
My path to redemption goes through Chris Jericho.
Just when you think these two can't raise the bar any higher?
How about we make history yet again?
The 30-minute Iron Man match. No rematch clause. It will be the End of the Line.
Folks, that's right. It is the End of the Line for Monday Night Raw. The kickoff match was Rusev versus Big Cass, and Rusev beat him via countout. Now, the whole thing, I guess, for Raw this time around was half of these were timed matches or beat the clock matches.
Yep.
Correct.
Some of them were anyway. Well, it's really only the one. Okay. It was that was the only one in terms of timed match. Man, I wish some of these were, but anyway. No, I mean, it was only the Zayn Strowman match. Yeah. Was given the 10-minute time limit.
Rusev versus Big Cass. I like it. I think it's interesting because Enzo's currently out, so they got to find something to do with Cass, and they got to find something to do with Rusev. Because there's only so many times you can put Rusev and Lana in some weird gimmicky wedding situation.
But I don't feel like it's showing off either guy. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it at all. I also hated the setup because basically Rusev should be the good guy. I mean, Enzo committed like a form of, you know, sexual harassment. And somehow, you know, he's the good guy in all of this. Rusev was literally just defending his wife, who was sexually harassed by Enzo, and somehow he's the bad guy. I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Yeah, I haven't quite figured that out yet either. And I think it's probably because we've always known Rusev to be the bad guy.
And he has all the stuff he says and everything like that. So, yeah.
And with his size and the way he looks, I don't know how. There are certain guys you just can't turn face. There's just no way.
Rusev is really, really good at it. Although I'll say this, if they ever wanted to make him a good guy, I mean, his comedic timing and everything is great. He's really pleasant. The banter he had with Shawn Michaels was actually pretty good, despite Michaels, you know, being out there to push a movie and then eventually set up a match. But... there's something about Rusev, too. I really feel like they should be moving him up higher on the totem pole. I really like him. There's something just with him. He's got the look. He's very good on the mic, and he's good at what he does. But, yeah, they just keep giving him these kind of, like, middling go-nowhere. Like, how does feuding with one half of a tag team really help him?
It doesn't.
Yeah, so, I mean... They keep giving him this stuff, and he keeps doing a good job with it, but, I mean, it's never anything substantial. He hasn't done anything substantial since the stuff with Cena, which is crazy to imagine. Like, at that point, he was far and away, I think, the most booed heel in the entire company. It was crazy how much heat he had and everything else.
Well, the reason
just killed him.
Yeah, well, the reason why at the time he had all of that is because it was Russia's better than America. It was that whole country versus country thing with him and Cena. Wasn't that like 2 years ago? Wasn't that like 2015?
It was WrestleMania was the blow off.
Yeah.
It was, and that was really good. I think part of it, too, was who he was working against, though, because obviously Cena can handle a mic and that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, that all helped him. And since then, he's been stuck in these crappy go-nowhere feuds with guys. You know, his next feud after was that garbage feud with he and Ziggler. And, I mean, that was awful. And, I mean, you could tell Ziggler wasn't into it, because now, you know, we've recently seen what happens when he's into a feud and just... They've just buried him with all the garbage they've had the poor guy do. I feel bad.
I really think now is the time, instead of putting him against Cass again in anything, put Sammy against somebody else and have Rusev versus Braun. That would be awesome, I think.
Wouldn't it have made more sense to have Enzo and Cass feuding? Like, Enzo, at the start of this, by the way, was not legitimately injured. He was actually, you know, storyline. Yeah. I guess he did get legitimately injured later on. Wouldn't it be better if they had had them feud with the New Day so that, you know...
Oh, yeah.
So that everybody's actually feuding against a tag team, and he could make this story like New Day wants to... climb back up the ranks, but Enzo and Cass think it's their time now.
Yeah.
Like that sort of thing. And then at least everybody's still in this right division. And then we're not getting, like, time of Titus O'Neil trying to talk. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah. I didn't even see the Titus O'Neil stuff. I saw, you know, the Raw Tag Team Championship match, which is Cesaro and Sheamus defeating the New Day to become the new Raw Tag Team Champions. And obviously this comes off the heels of the... They broke the record, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so I knew that was going to happen. And you even said, I think you even said last episode that as soon as they break the record, they're going to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
So...
And to be fair, I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro, it's turned out better than I thought it would. Yeah, it has. I really like the two of them together. And the stuff with Gallows and Anderson now works really well.
So well. Love Gallows and Anderson.
Those guys are awesome. To see them actually do something that's up their alley. Like, the comedy stuff and trying to be funny and have fun is not them. They're two huge guys. And their moves and everything are super high impact, that kind of thing. They work better as ass kickers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like having Austin, you know, when he did the comedy bits, it worked because he's so good at them. But it still felt weird. And for whatever reason, it feels weird and it just doesn't work with Gallows and Anderson.
It depended on which comedy bits with Stone Cold, but there were several that I have. There's one that I can absolutely watch over and over and over again, and that is when he brought the beer truck down and basically soaked Santino and Maria in beer. And the whole, oh my, I love that bit.
I'm not going to lie, my favorite is the Kumbaya on the ukulele with Edge and Christian. That was beautiful. His stuff with Angle was great. Speaking of Hall of Fame, anyway, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we got Sammy versus Braun, and this was the time match. Sammy had to last the challenge was that Sammy had to be able to last 10 minutes with Braun Strowman, and he did that. I really like Braun now that he's not the silent killer for the Wyatt family.
Yeah, he's got a personality.
Yeah, when they let him talk, and he does. Braun is. I know people are going to scream at their iPods or whatever devices you're listening to on this when I say this, because I know this is going to kill people. Braun, to me, is exactly what The Undertaker was in the beginning and is now. Braun only needs to say one or two. He doesn't need to say a hell of a lot.
It's interesting. This is not a bad comparison.
He does. Braun can say one or two things. He can say, "I want Sami Zayn," or "I want this person," or "I'm going to." He can do all that. He doesn't have the mic technique that Taker does. He doesn't have it's not the same resonance and presence that Taker has, obviously, because Taker's been around for God knows how long. But Braun could turn into the next.
Version of
The Undertaker. I'm not saying he's not going to replace The Undertaker. I'm saying he could be some form of what The Undertaker has become.
No, I don't think you're wrong. It's going to take some time, certainly. I mean, one of the biggest things is, you know, Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, had worked a ton before he found The Undertaker character / Vince gave it to him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had more wrestling experience, and Strowman's big thing is he had maybe 10 matches ever before they called him up. So,
I know
what you're saying, though. It's not a bad comparison. And they've been smart, right? I mean, they haven't exposed him or tried to get him to do stuff he can't do yet. He hasn't had to carry a 10-minute match with somebody who hasn't been around. Like, this worked. And, you know, putting him with Zayn is brilliant because Zayn's been around for a long time. He knows how to work a match. He knows how to make somebody look good. And he does a great job with it here. Like, he makes, you know, Strowman look like a monster. And, I mean, Rollins did well, too, on the Raw match they had. And Rollins is another guy. You know, he's been around for a long time, so he knows what to do.
Yeah. Speaking of Seth, Seth versus Chris Jericho. And then afterwards, Seth warns Triple H. I gotta say, and I know, again, this is gonna be another one of those moments where you and the entire audience that are listening to this are gonna be shocked when I say this.
Uh-oh.
I don't really hate Seth Rollins anymore. I kind of like the guy now, because the reason why I hated him before is because they had his character be a whiny little bitch.
And he was on the entire show from the start to finish.
Right, because the whole authority thing. Now, we possibly, like I said before, potentially maybe could get a 2/3 of the Shield reunion kind of like they've been doing that thing where they're pairing him with Roman and they're kind of doing shades of the old Shield. And yes, I did just pull a Michael Cole saying out of my pocket there. And, you know, I really, really dig it. And him versus Chris was great.
They're two guys that, you know, almost similar sort of philosophies and that kind of thing. Works really well. They work well together. It's weird. I'd argue that it's not as good as it could be with these two guys, but
right.
It still works really well. And yeah, Seth Rollins wins here again. Rollins has won most of their matchups. Maybe that's part of the issue too, that it never feels like Jericho's they're likely to win, although putting the belt on him recently was smart.
Yeah, I think the reason with Jericho and Rollins why it doesn't feel like Chris is going to win these matches against Seth is because there's no stakes to it. Seth doesn't have a belt right now.
Yeah.
Seth is basically trying to be a combination of himself and Dean just a little bit with a little bit more of the street stuff and I'm Seth friggin' Rollins and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. The thing with Chris is because Chris is not only just a singles person, he's also tied to Kevin. And they've got that whole storyline going. And that's why I'm thinking at some point, I'm hoping at some point, I don't necessarily need Dean there, but I want them to not necessarily rebrand, but I want them to brand Seth and Roman versus Chris and Kevin as the Shield versus Jericho or something like that, because I really just dug the Shield when they came in. I really did. And Seth now is a hell of a lot better than Seth was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and I'd also say too that Rollins is kind of overshadowed by the whole stuff with Triple H.
Yeah.
I feel like it's held him back that we're still waiting to hear, you know, why did Triple H do it and that kind of thing.
With Shawn coming back, I thought we would get Triple H because, I mean, hello, Degeneration X, everything else, you know.
Or maybe if Shawn come out and he calls, you know, Hunter out and says, you know, why did you do this kind of thing? Because then, A, Sean has something more important to do, and then B, right. Yeah, he just, I don't know.
You know what would be really funny, even though I think it would probably be a downplay on Triple H's character? Remember that bit a few years ago when Triple H went to get Sean out of the diner or whatever it was? Basically do a reverse of that. Oh, God. We had the Cruiserweight Championship triple threat match. Rich Swann defeating TJ Perkins and the Brian Kendrick. Neville returns. So there's that.
The Neville stuff's been great, at least. I feel like it's really done a lot for the Cruiserweights. I'm actually interested to see it because I think for whatever reason, Neville works really well as a heel. And it kind of seems to have made him a little more fresh to the audience and that kind of thing. It was smart, and I think people are starting to care about the Cruiserweights a little more because of it, because at least here's this guy that they've invested some time and that kind of thing in. The problem is, then you watch Raw, and it's still like 2-minute matches, and nobody knows who anybody is again.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. It's just...
They put on good matches, so I mean, I feel really bad. It's not like, you know, they're scrubs or non-entertaining. It's just the crowd doesn't care, and that's, again, that's WWE's fault and problem, so.
Yeah. And then we had this is the other time match, the 30-minute Iron Woman match for the Raw Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Sasha. This was sudden death overtime to become the new Raw Women's Championship.
And it was a really good match.
It was very good. These two ladies, these two women do amazing work together. Regardless of how I feel about Charlotte's character and just the way that the character is right now. Yeah, I love both of their in-ring
She's
presence.
Still improving on screen with the character and everything else. She's miles ahead of where she was, you know, a little over a year ago when she was in NXT. She's another one, though, that she's worked hard to get there, but she hasn't been, you know, wrestling super long. They called her up, you know, she hasn't been at it as long as the others in the division. So she's kind of had to improve on screen. But yeah, she's got chemistry with Sasha. She's got chemistry with Bayley as well, who she's going to face. And I'm glad that this was kind of the end of the Sasha-Charlotte stuff. Because, I mean, it had gone a long time. They put on great matches, and it's entertaining each time. So I'm not trying to insult either of them or anything with it. But I think it was time for it to end. And the Iron Woman match was a smart way to kind of finish it off.
Absolutely. And we ended the night with Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Disqualification, kind of WWE Universal Championship match. I'm kind of
crap.
A crap ending, yeah, but I'm kind of glad that it ended the way it did, because we would then get Chris versus Roman, and then Chris gets the belt, and then you set up as we've seen, you set up Chris and Kevin as the two champions on Raw for the men. So,
yep.
But the match itself was great. I thought that was really fun. And it's interesting to see Roman go against KO, because you want to talk about two extremely different styles. I mean, those guys, I mean, they're both powerhouses, but they both have ways, different ways of approaching it. And I just thought it was really cool. So we're going to take another quick break. Before that, we'll get a rating here in a minute from us on this pay-per-view. But break, and then at the end, we're going to talk about Rumble. We're going to talk about Brock and a few other things. But for Roadblock, end of the line, what do you give it?
Well, I mean, I give 3.5 to 4. You know what? I'll just make it a 4 for TLC. Roadblock. I'm just gonna go with a 3. I think.
I
almost want to lean lower. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But that's my thing. But alternatively, I mean, some of the effort and stuff, like the Iron Woman match was fantastic. I don't want to diminish that.
Yeah.
I liked what they did with Neville, even though I thought the Cruiserweight match was only sort of okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna stick with the 3, but I can definitely see lower.
I gotta go 2.5 on Roadblock. I enjoyed it, like you said, with the women's match and all that, but I don't know. Raw's just not. They need to find their place for themselves that's going to really pull people in. And I cannot see anyone, whether you have the network or you don't. Anyone that doesn't have the WWE network right now, that used to pay for pay-per-view, like these on like actual pay-per-views, like 50, 60, 70 bucks, I'm sorry. Roadblock End of the Line is not something I would pay a pay-per-view price. I would rather just have the network and watch it there, because anybody that's still paying the pay-per-view prices, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah, and I mean, two of these a month too, like, man.
And certain, depending on which ones they are, have different prices. I don't even know what the prices are anymore, because let's face it, WWE Network, $9.99 a month. It's not that bad, folks. You can even buy it instead of buying a whole year's worth of it, you can buy 3-month gift cards at Walmart, for crap's sake. We're going to take another quick break and come back to talk about the aftermath of the pay-per-views for both brand shows and what the hell's going on with Brock and all that other stuff. We'll be back after this.
One of the perks of being 7 feet tall is you can kick a man out of the sky like that.
All right, folks, we're going to close it out here. We're going to talk about Roadblock, not Roadblock. We already talked about Roadblock. Royal Rumble.
We talk about it again. No.
No, please. Let's not. No. Yeah. So we got. Royal Rumble coming up. That'll be the next episode. And according to several websites, we've got obviously the classic 30-man Royal Rumble match. We got KO versus Reigns. We got Styles versus Cena. We got Charlotte versus Bayley. And then Cruiserweight is Rich Swann versus Neville.
Yep. And we got a boatload of participants that are announced. But as usual, we have some. There's always some surprise ones. So.
Right. So we got. For Raw, we got Goldberg, Brock, Big E, Kofi, and Xavier, New Day, Jericho, Strowman, Seth. We got
The Undertaker, who I guess Sheamus. Is Raw now.
It doesn't list him here as Raw, but
I know. I don't know. It's very confusing. I guess he just sort of goes where he wants at this point.
Mm.
But he announced it on Raw, so
yeah, that's weird. We got Baron Corbin, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, Ziggler, Wyatt, Randy, and Harper. So, we mentioned earlier about Bray and Randy versus who the hell did they fight? Crap.
At the pay-per-view, that was when they won the belts off of Rhino.
Yeah. And Slater. Okay. Yeah. Rhino and Slater. Yeah. So, what I like right now about the new Wyatt family is, number one, Randy Orton actually has something to do, and they work in his theme music into the Wyatt. I love that the way they entrance that. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see if they turn Wyatt and Orton into a tag team and get rid of Harper, because they have this whole thing now where Randy and Luke are kind of starting a family feud kind of thing, and Bray was like on SmackDown recently, he's like, I got to go handle this family business and blah, 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 blah. So I just, like, Luke Harper, when he was on his own, when he was facing, like, Dean Ambrose and things like that, he was fine. I just don't, like, now that Randy's there, I don't see a use for him in the Wyatt family. I don't see a use for Luke right now.
I feel like it would work better if they actually converted and added people once in a while. I feel like that's one of the problems with the Wyatt family has been, you know, Bray's supposedly this super charismatic guy who can bring people in, that kind of thing, and he just never adds anybody, or it's always the same, you know, it's always two guys with Bray, and that's it. So if people could kind of come and go, it would work better as like a group versus here's this group and it's always the same guys. You know, like the New Day's whole shtick isn't that they're charismatic and can attract and bring in new people, but with the Wyatt family, that's the whole deal. So
yeah, I don't know, but I am enjoying, you know, seeing Randy kind of kick ass and take names. The whole thing with Seth and Triple H, please somebody get it over with before WrestleMania. Please have it at Fastlane, do something. I know. It's kind of like Eeyore. Thanks for noticing me. It's like, yeah, I know it's not going to.
Yeah, maybe Rusev just will be involved in a feud by WrestleMania. We'll see. Or a decent one, I should say.
But I am really excited to see, since they split the brands and they each have their own, I'm really excited to see how the Royal Rumble with everybody back together. The only thing I don't like about the combined pay-per-views is they need to pick one announce team. One announce team that's made up of both shows, not just have all of them there. And the same thing I will complain again for SmackDown. The only complaint I have on SmackDown, you need Mauro. You don't necessarily need Otunga, JBL, and Phillips there. You don't need four fucking people on SmackDown for commentary.
I agree. They should add two or three more. I mean,
I mean, like, come on, people.
For decades, Monday Night Football has tried to figure out a way to have 12 or 13 people in that booth, and SmackDown's getting there. So
yeah,
ugh, yeah, it's terrible.
The other thing we got to talk about before we get the heck out of here is Ziggler's new heel turn and his potential new feud with King. I didn't think they were letting Jerry back on TV.
Well, he's also going to be calling the Royal Rumble match itself.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
No, they announced that. So he's in their good graces again. Charges and everything against him were dropped some time ago. So he seems to be back.
Hmm. Interesting, because I wonder if...
He's back in the fold now, so...
Well, that's cool, because they only relegated him to the pre-show
stuff.
Yeah,
I guess we should mention two other things. So, Raw had a tribute to Jimmy Superfly Snuka, who died, which I feel really weird about, because, I mean, his, you know, trial for murder was called off really only because he wasn't mentally fit to stand trial. So
right.
That's yeah. So yeah, I'm not gonna touch that with a 10-foot pole.
No, I wasn't even gonna bring it up. Okay. I was just gonna mention, oh hey, they did a memorial in front of the shows for Jimmy and that's a whole, like, I don't like getting into, like, we watch this stuff. We pay attention to this stuff for what's on the thing.
Yeah.
Like, when the whole thing with Jerry and his girlfriend and whatever, you know, the car accident and all that other stuff and everything else, it's like, oh my God, that's so, so horrible. But it's like, that guy's personal life does not affect me directly. So why am I going, you know, it's like I've said before, I know you're going to groan. I know the entire audience is going to let it groan out. I don't give a crap what Chad Kroeger does in his personal life as long as he gives me a good fucking album for Nickelback.
Well, you know, I mean? I know you're still waiting for him to give you a good album, but still.
Shut up, you ass.
The other thing I'll mention, too, is so Kurt Angle is one of the inductees into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's long overdue because the guy's still actively wrestling. But he is one of the greats. I mean, if you have the network and can go back and watch pretty much any of his stuff, do so. I mean, I'm hard-pressed to find a time in WWE and even in TNA when he wasn't, you know, one of, if not the most entertaining person on all of the shows. Like, his talent level was insane, and I've gone back and watched some of the stuff in the last little bit just because with his name back out there, I remember, oh, hey, you know, I really enjoyed this segment or match or that kind of thing. And with the network, you can go find it. And holy cow, I mean, I'd forgotten how insanely brilliant he was for his years. I think he was only there from about, oh, I want to say 99 or 2000 until 2006. So it doesn't, it's a short time. It feels like he was there longer, but part of that's because he was on so often and he was great.
Yeah. My favorite part of Kurt Angle, and I never really liked him back in the day. I mean, I've explained this before, the personalities on the shows, but it's just one of those things where what I loved about him and his abilities and his mic techniques and all that stuff and his physical abilities was the feuds he had with Stone Cold, because they were just so fun.
He was great with him, and then the other one I point out, his stuff with Eddie I thought was fantastic, too.
Yeah, it really was.
The two of them worked really well together, and yeah. So I'm kind of hoping this means he'll be back on at some point, because A, he's still wrestling at quite a high level. Like, he can still put on really good shows, and part of that is, to be blunt and to reference something off-air again, he's clean. I mean,
yeah,
the things that have plagued his career and the demons that plagued him are seemingly gone. So I think that's helped him an awful lot. And
yeah,
I'd like to see him back on the TV again. I'm hoping this means that, you know, they've patched things up, because he would be fun to at least hear from once in a while, or if he were to come on Raw or SmackDown. And I'd like to see him with American Alpha doing the USA, fun, you know, gimmick, that kind of thing, just once. You know, he doesn't have to come on every week or something.
Yeah, that would be really fun. What do you have any? Hang on a sec, because I can't mute right now. So edit. Holy shit!
Fuck! You're not gonna end up beside Dodd, are you?
I'm not gonna end up a what?
Beside Dodd, are you?
Oh hell no!
At least our healthcare is free, so.
Yeah. Okay. What is your prediction for the next time if we will ever see Vince again? I know we'll see him again, but when do you think he'll pop up this year?
Ooh. Man, that's a good question. So what if, you know what? I'm going to say after WrestleMania, and I'm going to say he, maybe they try to do something where he's mad at Hunter for coming back and wrestling one of his talents or something again.
Hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. Or maybe at that point he decides, you know what, I'm going to come out and I'm going to audit or performance appraise Shane and Stephanie or something, and they do something with that. Yeah. Those are two things I'm guessing at. I have no idea, obviously.
Yeah, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, those are my two ideas. I'm sure other people can come up with better ones, but you put me on the spot.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the performance thing, because part of the Mick, Stephanie storyline was performance thing and whatever else, and then over on SmackDown's like, for the first time since the split, we beat Raw in the ratings. 'Cause let's face it, SmackDown is the better show right now.
Yep.
All right, folks, join us next time for the Royal Rumble. After that, I'm not sure. I think we're going to try to put together a superstar spotlight where we talk about one superstar, or maybe we'll talk about a team. Who knows? I'm not really sure. Every time I keep seeing Seth and Roman and Cole saying, Shield this, Shield, I almost want us to do a spotlight on the Shield first. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I'm going between that and just getting the whole Cena spotlight out of the way first, because I know everyone hates Cena. Most everyone.
I don't anymore. Anyway.
Yeah. So. All right. Head on over to thisweekingeek.net. Check out all the content over there. As I said at the very beginning of the podcast, Mike the Birdman Dodd, you know, he's in a rough spot right now, folks. I'll put the link to his GoFundMe in the post. And I think as of actually during this recording, they actually met goal. But anything extra is, you know, absolutely, you know, going to help. And hopefully Mike can get his stuff together and come back soon and all that good stuff. Where can people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat on Twitter is probably the easiest place.
Awesome. I am at TFG on Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other GCRN stuff. You can follow at This Week in Geek on Twitter as well. And be sure to visit the websites geekcastradio.com and thisweekingeek.net. Until next time, we will catch you later. Oh, and guess what? Brand new outro. Just made it today. So
Ooh. Take
it away, Jericho.
You just made the list!
All clear.